Next is the Sunday Feast Lecture given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on March 15, 1992 at the South Trinidad Temple.
Of appreciation of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Swami Prabhupada, to discuss the amazing work He has done in bringing Krishna consciousness to the Western countries. Srila Prabhupada himself was surprised that he became so successful, because the Western countries are so materialistic and don't know anything about Krishna. So how could he expect to succeed? When Prabhupada first arrived in the summer of 1965, of course you know the story, that he did not come with any money or support of any mission in India, but he came as one person with just a few rupees. And so when his boat landed in Boston Harbor, he wrote a poem in which he revealed his heart to Krishna. And there he expressed a doubt whether the people will, they're so demoniac, whether they'll be able to take to Krishna consciousness. And later, recalling this mood, Prabhupada wrote in a letter in 1975, "In a country where everyone is trained from childhood to indulge in sinful activities, who will accept such restrictions? No meat, fish and eggs, no intoxicants, no gambling, and no illicit sex. These things are the life and soul of the Western people, and I never imagined that even one person would accept it. But by the mercy of my spiritual master and Krishna, the thing has taken shape." So how is it that so many persons were able to take to Krishna consciousness? What did Prabhupada have? That we can discuss. And I'd like to also discuss it from a personal point of view, because I also came forward, or Prabhupada pulled me forward at that time and took to Krishna consciousness under his direction. So I can explain how one lost soul came to Prabhupada. And we'll try to consider it philosophically also. In fact, just in coming down here, some person asked me this question. Madhava Mangal and I were waiting in the airport in Puerto Rico to come here. And sitting next to us were two men who turned out to be born-again Christians coming to preach in Trinidad and convert the Hindus. One of them was, in fact, an Indian ex-Hindu. But they were not in a very friendly mood. And one of them asked me, they asked us both, "How long have you been doing this?" So I said, 26 years. He said, "What made you come to this anyway?" So what made me come? I said, I met the teacher. I met a pure devotee of Krishna. And he convinced me. So this is a very important principle, that we may have no religion at all, as I had no religion. Or you may nominally belong to a religion and not be so serious. But if you're fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee, then your life can be changed to real God consciousness. And it doesn't matter that it's coming from India or wherever it's coming from. When you meet the Sat Guru, eternal Guru, these other considerations are just sectarian. That I'm a Westerner, he's from India. These things are not important. Now, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which talks about the Lord Chaitanya's mission being one of welfare work for humanity. And what Srila Prabhupada brought was this a program of Lord Chaitanya as the highest welfare. And in the verse I will read in a few minutes, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says, come forward and examine Lord Chaitanya's contribution. Use your logic, don't accept it sentimentally. But I think if you examine it, you will agree that he has the best humanitarian program to help people. So that is an interesting statement, and I can relate to that personally. Because when Srila Prabhupada came to New York City, he opened his storefront at 26 Second Avenue. That's on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, for those who may know New York City. And I was working as a social worker in the Department of Welfare, just 2-3 minutes away from where that Prabhupada opened his storefront. So I was in the category of someone who was interested in welfare work. The job I had was for the city of New York, and welfare means mostly financial aid for people who for one reason or another are in need of money and cannot earn it themselves. So it's expected that a welfare worker will be sympathetic to unfortunate people and try to help them. And I was like that. Would like to try to give some of the city's money to these people who are in need. But after a while working at this job, almost all the workers become cynical and disappointed because they see there's not much they can really do for the people and there's so much cheating involved. People say they spend money for one thing, but they just spend it on intoxication instead. And just a general sense of drain of your enthusiasm develops as you see that you're not really changing anybody's quality of life, even if you buy them a refrigerator. And after all, you're really doing it just because you need a job yourself. And so you're not giving people enlightenment, you're not really bettering people's lives, and everywhere around you, you see so much suffering and cheating. But it's a job. So that was my so-called humanitarian work when I met Srila Prabhupada. So when I met him, my own personal life was unhappy, and he offered such great hope. Because actually within us, even though we may become agnostics and even be engaged in sinful activities, we are eternal pure soul, and we want to develop that spiritual life again. We lose hope that it's possible because we never meet any pure devotee and the religions themselves don't inspire us. But when I met Prabhupada, then that hope came that I can actually study Bhagavad Gita with him, this wonderful mystical book, and by his pure devotion to Krishna, all my almost unspoken, undreamt for hopes can actually be realized. And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna consciousness is such a nice thing. I asked Prabhupada, the first question I asked him was, I said, I have read in a book that misery is eternal. Is this true? He said, it is true in the material world, misery is eternal. Because even if you get relief from one thing, then another thing will happen. If you're miserable because you have a broken arm, you go to the hospital and cure it, then you're happy. But something else will happen to your body. One thing after another. So there is no end to misery. But, he says, there is a relief from all misery in Krishna consciousness. hearing it from him with his certainty and his realization was very convincing. So then that question I asked him in the hall, in the public hall. Then I went and asked him personally in his room. I said, sometimes I think maybe that I am trying to be a good person and stop my bad habits, but then I fall down again. Is it possible? Is there a spiritual advancement that you can make that you don't slide down again from? Prabhupada said, yes, there is. And he had the power to convince, not just by the statement itself, you can write it down, all he said was yes, but he had the power to create faith in people who had no faith. Because actually, as we analyze Prabhupada's life, now that his appearance and disappearance have passed, and you can examine his work, senior Vaishnavas have concluded, including Prabhupada's godbrothers, that Prabhupada was actually an empowered soul, a Shaktivish avatar. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan Krishna Shakta Vinanaha Tara Pravartana. Any person who can actually spread love of God and the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world, he must be empowered by Krishna. So he could do this. Therefore, I wanted to take to Krishna consciousness. So I thought, what good is this welfare job? I will quit this job so that I can be with Swamiji, as we call him, not even knowing at that early time how to properly address and honor Prabhupada. But we still loved him and were attracted to be with him. So most of the few people who were coming around, seriously, they didn't have any jobs. And I was maybe the only one or two persons who had jobs. And I thought, why should I be away all day from being able to be with him? I'll quit my job, and then I can be a serious spiritual student. So without asking Prabhupada, At work, I filled out a resignation and handed it in. And then I went around the block to see him, and he was there with the other boys who didn't have any jobs. In my resignation, he said, reason for resignation? I said, to study the Bhagavad Gita with my guru. The supervisor raised his eyebrows. What kind of a reason is that? But I was very happy. I felt very renounced. So I went to see Prabhupada, and I, full of good spirit and proud, I said, Swamiji, I quit my job. Now I can be with you all the time. And he looked at me, and he was displeased. He said, why have you done that? Why did you quit your job? You were giving nice donations. So I didn't understand, because I thought I had done a spiritual act of renunciation. So he began to explain it, and he gave me an example from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, in the Bhagavatam there is a story of a man who was very ugly, and he had leprosy, and also spiritually he was ugly. And he had a very faithful wife, but she served him even though he was like that. But she tried to make him happy, but he appeared to be unhappy. She said, why are you unhappy? I'm always trying to do anything you want. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I am hankering for to have the famous prostitute in this town. So he was such a rascal that he talked like this to his wife, that he was actually wanted this prostitute. But this was a very famous prostitute who was very expensive. Only the rich men would go to her. So his wife was so faithful that rather than be insulted, she just thought, well, this is what my husband wants. I'll see if I can arrange it. So she went to that prostitute, but found out that the prostitute required a huge amount of money. So the wife became the maidservant of the prostitute and earned money in that way. Then when she got enough money, she went and gave it to the husband for him to go. The story continues in the Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada stopped it there. In telling me, he said, so whatever someone may say about this wife, They may say she's crazy, and they may say that she's not moral, but you have to agree that she's very faithful to her husband. Extraordinary faith, that she'd do any horrible thing just to please him. So he didn't say, and so you can apply this to yourself, but I understood he was telling me the story to apply to myself. And the application was that if I really want to be a student of Bhagavad Gita and to surrender to the Guru, then I should do whatever he wants. I should find out what he wants. Maybe he doesn't want me to not have a job and not give donations. Maybe he doesn't want me to sit around the apartment all day long. But he wants me to work for Krishna and give the money. And that's what he did want me to do. So then, rather than give up this humanitarian work, a welfare work, now it became true welfare work, that I could use the money to help keep Krishna's temple open, and then Prabhupada could distribute Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when I understood this, then I became very satisfied to, and I felt that the family relationship as father and son had become strong. He was like my father telling me, keep your job, work for Krishna. And I went to work very satisfied, even though I knew, oh, right now Prabhupada is with the boys and he's telling them something, but I can't hear because I'm at work. Yes, but I'm being responsible. He wants me to work, and whatever I had to endure during the day, any kind of nonsense in the office or going to see the clients, I just could always think, I'm doing this for the Swami, I'm doing this to develop love of God. And even if I didn't see him so frequently, whenever I saw him, it felt so good because I knew I was doing what he wanted all the time. And this is real meditation, to always be carrying out the order of the spiritual master. So this point about welfare is mentioned by Lord Chaitanya, by Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, if you are interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that people in their narrow-minded conception of life create many different types of humanitarian activities, but the humanitarian activities inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are different. So put Lord Chaitanya's mercy to the test with your logic. And the main difference in his humanitarian work is that it's eternal. It's not just based on the body. Bodily welfare work is at best temporary, if it even helps temporarily. But the good work that Lord Chaitanya is doing benefits everyone eternally, all people. This is the main point. If we try to benefit the body, it will be destroyed. And one will have to accept another body according to his present activities. If one does not understand the science of transmigration, but considers the body to be all in all, his intelligence is not very advanced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without neglecting the necessities of the body, that we can take care of also, he imparted spiritual advancement to purify the existential condition of humanity. Therefore, if you judge impartially, you'll find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Mahavadanyavatar, the most magnanimous incarnation. So getting back to this point of how did Prabhupada do this amazing thing of bringing Krishna consciousness to Western people, he did it not by some magic, although it is also a kind of magic, but he did it by nothing concocted, but by giving the standard program of Lord Chaitanya to chant Hare Krishna and to hear about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was simply the humble representative of his spiritual master. And with great faith and courage, although it was such a different culture, even a different language, he just presented it, and somehow or other we took to it very happily. And he didn't just do it as an official lecturer, but he stayed and worked to bring us all to Krishna consciousness, one by one. This is certainly true in my case, that I was reluctant, and even though I saw it was a nice thing, I couldn't go forward. And I needed personal encouragement by Prabhupada. So on a number of occasions, he did this and gave me some personal invitation or personal attention so that I would give up my reluctance. Prabhupada began to engage me in typing work, typing his manuscripts of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And right away I had so much manuscripts to type. So I wasn't planning on taking the Krishna consciousness as a permanent thing or a lifetime engagement. And my habit, like so many young people, was to get into something for a while and don't become attached to it, and then you take on something else. You read one book, read the Tibetan Book of the Dead or some other interesting book, and then later you read another book. Practice something, then practice something else. So I wasn't thinking that this was a permanent thing. But he gave me so much typing to do right away. I said, "Oh, Swamiji, you give me so much typing." This was in the summer. I said, "This is enough to last all winter." He said, I have enough work for you for many lifetimes." So once you get trapped by Krishna's mercy, it's not so easy to get out. So I began doing this typing at home whenever I had time. And I felt responsible. I'd do it nicely, no mistakes, and turn it in as quickly as possible. And Swamiji will be pleased with me. So I did that, and some relationship was developing by the typing and by giving the money. And then it was time for the first initiation. So Prabhupada initiated anybody who wanted to be initiated after only a few months, because he was so eager to get this movement started. And he had unlimited energy, but he didn't think he had unlimited time. He used to say, "I'm an old man, I may die at any moment, but you must take to this Krishna consciousness and give it to others." So he had to get it started. Therefore, he was very liberal and lenient to give initiation if anyone showed some sincerity. Therefore, on Janmashtami, he gave the first initiation. And I was also invited, although he didn't personally invite me, but the word passed around. Anybody who wants to get initiated can get initiated. Some devotees didn't even know what the rules were. So I thought, "I'm not ready to get initiated to make this promise for all these things." And anyway, Swamiji, he didn't personally ask me to get initiated. So I didn't go. That night when there was initiation. Although he may have expected that I would go. But at least I stayed home and I did some more typing. And then the next day, as usual, I brought the typing in. I gave him... He was alone in his apartment. And as soon as he saw me, he said, "Oh, you didn't come to the initiation yesterday." "No," I said. He said, "That's all right. Come in." And then I gave him the papers and he looked at the typing. He said, "Very good. You're doing a nice job." And he gave me some grapes that he had by his side. And at first I thought, "I worked so hard, so many pages, all I get is a few grapes." Because the mind produces all these nonsense things, even in the presence of the pure devotee. But I didn't say anything. I accepted them. And then actually I felt very nice as soon as I took the grapes. So he said, "Here's some more work for you." And he gave me more typing. And I was about to leave. And then he got up and with me, but then he stopped me. He said, "This is not enough that you do this work in an automatic way. That I just give you typing and you bring it back. I give you typing and you bring it back. I give you typing and you bring it back. It's not to be done just mechanically." He said, But rather, if you love me, then I will love you. So that was all he said, and then I walked out the door. But that had made a great impression on me. It was like he was reading my mind, or reading into my heart. Because actually, I wanted him to love me, but I hadn't realized that if you want to love Krishna or Krishna's pure devotee, you have to give from your side. Love is not one way. We're thinking, Krishna, please love me, please bless me, give me spiritual life. But Krishna wants to see that you give yourself. Why don't you love him? So it's actually a personal exchange. We may consider ourselves insignificant, but still the pure devotee is saying, you have to show your love to me in some way, and I will like that. I'm also a person. Krishna's a person. Prabhupada's a person. He doesn't need our love, like a person who has no love, but he's greedy that we exchange with him in that way. So you have to give up your reluctance. Anyway, I'm analyzing it now, but I just know at that time, I didn't have to think it out, but it smashed through my barrier of false ego. And I was very happy that, oh, Swamiji loves me and he wants me to love him. So I will do it. And so from that time on, I was able to feel more freedom to go forward in Krishna consciousness. Now, this humanitarian work and this mercy of Prabhupada is still available to us. Someone was saying, not many devotees in Trinidad, or hardly anyone has knew Prabhupada, and they like to hear stories about Prabhupada. But actually the stories about Prabhupada, they're continuing even today, and reciprocation with him is going on. It depends on our purity. If you love Prabhupada even now, then he will love you. And through him, Krishna will exchange with you. So the opportunities to serve Prabhupada are here in this temple. You can put something on his Vyasa san. You can give him a flower. And worship the form of Prabhupada. You can also read his books. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, if you want to know me, read my books. He said that my books are my personal ecstasy. So it's a very intimate exchange. You know how Prabhupada produced his books? Starting in India, he used to work so hard at a little typewriter by himself. He typed. And then later, devotees would help him type. And he began to dictate on the dictaphone. And he would get up at 1 in the morning to do this. Even when he was traveling. You know, when you're traveling, it's very difficult to adjust from place to place. But wherever he would go, it was like the same place for him. And he would sit down with his little machine and do the next installment of the Srimad Bhagavatam using his book of commentaries. So those moments, he would be all alone at that quiet time of night and speaking very profoundly and confidentially his realizations of Krishna consciousness. So that's what you get if you read the Prabhupada's purport, even today. If you read it in a nice submissive frame of mind, it's like you're with Prabhupada alone in his room at 1 a.m. and he's talking softly or strongly about Krishna, talking to Krishna and talking to anyone who wants that confidential darshan. So I'm not making this up, but it's a fact that you can have such close association with the pure devotee by these ecstasies of his purport. And then, just as I told the story of how I worked at the welfare department for Swamiji, so you can also work for Prabhupada's temple by donating your earnings or donating your talent. In some way, be a part of this mission and assist his mission. And if you do it nicely, you get that feeling, as I did and as devotees do now, that I'm doing everything for Prabhupada and I feel his nearness. So it's a continuing thing. Therefore, this may be the particular use of telling these stories. It's nice to tell them just for themselves also, to remember those times, remember him. But also, whatever was done then in affection and intimacy is still open to us. I'll pause here. It's a little early, but I can't remember all these stories so automatically. But if there's any questions or comments, we can go on like that. Or Josh?
Sometimes during the course of our preaching activities, we come in contact with people who they are amazed how people, how Prabhupada is able to transform people all over the world. They were able to give up so many sinful activities. But at the same time, when you tell them about this simple practice of chanting Hare Krishna and these different activities, sometimes they're hesitant or they don't think that this looks very important. They have certain concepts of rituals and, you know, different ideas about what religious life is. So how is it that we can convince people that even though this chanting will look like a simple thing, but it has this great effect that it can actually change people's lives and actually awaken love for God in them, despite it may look like such an ordinary thing?
Well, they have to be willing to look into it deeply. And if a person is interested in sense gratification and in money making, Prabhupada once gave this example of why people don't take the Harinam party seriously when they see them on the street. They see boys and girls chanting Hare Krishna. And if somebody thinks that it's ridiculous, useless activity, he said it may be because the person looking at the Harinam is very much attached to making money and to sense gratification, and they see that this Harinam is not producing those things. They say, why are these people out here doing something that doesn't produce sense gratification, or they could be making money instead? They won't be able to see the value. They have to change their values. Of course, the chanting is so powerful that it may do that to them. It may change their values so that they'll say, this is very nice, even though it isn't those things that I usually like. But my point is, they will have to look into the matter deeply and not see it superficially. So this requires some knowledge. Therefore, our preaching is to try to attract people by the most pleasant methods possible, giving them prasadam and nice musical chanting and so on, books of knowledge, so that they will look into it more deeply. Another point is, if they can hear the personal testimony of different devotees who could tell them that just by the chanting of Hare Krishna, it has changed my life in this way. The chanting is not just a ritual, it's not a foolish thing, but it's a very deep process. I was addicted to these four sinful activities, but as soon as I began to chant, I was able to give them up. This is a fact. This happened to me. So this kind of testimony is undeniable. And that's an important thing. So devotees themselves, they are living testimonies of the importance of chanting of Hare Krishna. They should be. And if they keep their life, spiritual life. That question was also asked of Prabhupada, that how do we know that the guru is actually a perfect person who can deliver us? Because also by appearances they may think, oh, these people, they're worshipping their guru and telling all the stories about Prabhupada, but how do I know that he's a special person? What was special about him? just like you say, what is special about the chanting of Hare Krishna? What is special about Prabhupada? So my reply is, you have to find out what is a guru, what is the Maha Mantra. Otherwise, how can you judge? Just by superficial appearances. Prabhupada gave the example, if you decide that you would like to get some gold, then you'll have to find out what is gold, where is genuine gold sold, how much should I pay for it. You have to gain knowledge about it. Otherwise, without any knowledge, someone can come up to you and show you some gold-covered, painted thing and say, here is gold, and you'll buy it. Okay, you'll be cheated. You don't know. All that glitters is not gold. But you'll be cheated because you don't know. Therefore, spiritual life is serious, and persons have to get some knowledge, or they will make their superficial judgments. So we're trying to give them the education so that they can decide for themselves, either by attempting the chanting of Hare Krishna, or at least by hearing about it from authorized persons or authorized sources. Then they may try it for themselves and then they'll see. Someone else? So anything that a devotee does, people will watch and get some impression. A good impression or a bad impression. So if you do some little act of kindness, it may seem like a material thing, but then if they say Hari Bol and if they think kindly of devotees, then it's a gain. But the best thing we can do is to give them back their connection to Krishna. Anyone else? All right then. We can have some kirtan and then the aarti. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's one Hare Krishna tune we sing a lot at the different Ratiyachas. So first I'll sing Jai Jagannath a few times, then do that.
Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Jai Jagannath. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami, Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami, Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me.
Remember this from this doing Harinam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.